You're listening to Relevant Radio, 950 AM and 930 AM. Talk radio for Catholic life. Good morning. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will bring you programs about the people, the issues, and the faith that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. This is Deacon John with the Black Catholic Initiative. And it's a cold and blustery day. I hope you all are warm out there. Of course, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and let us be glad. And I'm very glad this morning. I have my favorite bishop here. Bishop Joseph N. Perry.
You laugh.
Good morning, Bishop.
Good morning, John. How are you?
I'm doing good. And how are you after a long night that you shared with me this morning?
Yes, we were with the Hispanic community celebrating Our Lady of Guadalupe, the great vigil.
Yes.
All night.
Oh, my God. I don't know how you made it in this morning, Bishop. I think I would have slept in or at least called and say, Deacon, we're going to have to do the show from your dwelling place.
From the bed.
Yeah, exactly. But you just keep pushing and moving and going. And I don't know how you do it other than we discussed earlier, too, that I know you work out and maybe that helps. But,
well, age creeps up.
Yeah, age does creep up. Look, it's been over a year since we've had you in. I was looking at the notes the other day. And actually, I believe it's been since September of last year.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so time flies.
It certainly does.
So we're aging without even noticing.
That's right.
But, you know, we talked, Bishop, about the canonization efforts of Father Augustus Toden. And, you know, that was, it seemed, pretty much the beginning phase. And now we're really into it, and a lot of things have been going on. So share with us, how's that going with you?
It's going all right. Things have been pretty active the last several months. The authorities in Rome are putting together the official, what they call the positio, to give to the Holy Father, which hopefully he will review and advance Tolton to the next step. I heard about the composers of the positio just about every week, every other week, for excuse me, one or the other item. In composing it, the positio is, you might call it, the official biography of Tolton from the Vatican's perspective.
Okay.
And it's put in kind of a decorative book form with gold edging and padded cover and that, heavily footnoted and documented, basically sourced from the material that we sent over there in 2014 after 4 years of research. So they've been putting on the finishing touches. For example, just this last week, I had to run out to Mount Olivet Cemetery to take a photograph of Father Tolton's mother's gravestone that they wanted. And we went back and forth regarding the photos they want to position in the positio. And another request came that they needed three newspaper articles from 1892, the Chicago Tribune.
Wow.
Those little things just to finish finish the thing off.
Now, I remember you saying, I forget where we were, but there are a lot of pages in that Posicio.
Yeah.
Was it over 500 or more or something pages?
Well, the research we sent over there amounted to about 4,500 pages of documents,
wow,
correspondence, and things that we've amassed from all kinds of sources, libraries, archives, those kinds of things, documenting Tolton's life here on Earth.
Yeah, that's a lot of pages. I don't think when my life's over, I'll have too many to,
too many
to compete with. Yeah, that is something. So now this, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly, but Posicio.
Posicio. It's a Latin term for position paper, but it's much, much larger than a paper. It's really the closest thing I can think of is a doctoral dissertation in someone's life.
Ah, I think that's great. And yet the way that they have prepared it makes it even more significant.
Oh, yeah. It's very, very detailed.
Okay, well, that's awesome. And we, too, now, last month it was, we had the premiere of his life, the play.
That's right.
At the DuSable Museum.
In St. Luke Productions.
Yeah, and it was very well received. You know, I was certainly glad that I was there because I didn't know what to expect, probably like most everyone else.
What did you think of it?
Oh, I loved it. Mm-hmm. You know, what I really liked about it, Bishop, is that I learned something that I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the priest, what is his name again, that basically pushed him to becoming a priest?
Oh, Father Peter McGeer.
McGeer, right. Mm-hmm. Father McGeer, I mean, the influence that he had in seeing Father Tolton through that whole process and the devotion and commitment during that day and age that he had. And obviously, you know, he was in his corner more than anybody that I could think of outside of his mom.
He and a couple others were ahead of their time in terms of their social visioning.
Mm-hmm.
Given that rough period back there where no one had ever seen a Roman collar on the neck of a black man before.
Right.
So trying to recreate that situation for church and society was pretty, pretty rough.
And McGeer just wouldn't take no for an answer.
Yeah.
I mean, he was convinced that this man should be a priest.
Mm-hmm.
And Father Tolton obviously overcame so much.
Mm-hmm.
Reading and writing, and and then he ends up playing several instruments and, what, 5-6 languages he was then able to?
German, Italian, Latin.
That's just awesome. Again, in that period in time, that's awesome.
Oh, yeah, 19th century.
Now, Andre Goodnight, Bishop, we're going to talk about him. I guess we got a few minutes, and if we have to, we'll go to break and come back.
Mm-hmm.
But could they have been a better person chosen for that role?
It was tough finding him. I was invited out to California to interview him a couple times. There were other candidates as well.
Mm-hmm.
But the role was more than just an actor acting out a script.
Mm-hmm.
The producers, Leonardo DeFilippis, who's a very, very spiritual man, and he's done many of these dramas on saints and so forth, he said for the Tolton role, he needed someone who was spiritually formed enough in order to do this role.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who would be committed to it and would really become another Tolton in the acting of it. And that was not easy to find.
Well, it may not have been easy to find, but it certainly was worth it.
Thank you.
Yeah, because he comes across, well, first of all, he's very spiritual.
Yes.
You can tell when you talk with him and you listen to what he is saying. He is certainly grounded. And it was just wonderful to see his wife there and then see the support that she gave and the support that he had from the crew and everyone. It was awesome. But look, we're going to take a break, and we're going to join you again in a minute or so and talk a little bit more about Mr. Goodnight.
Sure.
Everlasting.
Have you checked out Chicago Catholic lately? Either in print or online, Chicago Catholic has informative and stimulating content, including news from the Archdiocese, beautiful photographs, and a thoughtful column by our publisher, Cardinal Blaise Supich. Editor Joyce DeRiga tells us about our current edition of Chicago Catholic.
We report on the pastoral visit of Cardinal Blaise Supich to hurricane-devastated Puerto Rico. We explain tax credit scholarships and how they could bolster Catholic school enrollment. Catholic Charities will reach out to 25,000 kids in its 70th annual toy drive. And we talk to a woman whose ministry it is to find toys for needy children 12 months a year.
Subscribe now. Go to ChicagoCatholic.com or call 312-534-7777. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Chicago Catholic, a fresh approach to Catholic news.
As we celebrate our 100th anniversary, I want to offer a special thank you to the Good Samaritans who support Catholic Charities. I'm Monsignor Mike Boland. We feed, clothe, shelter, and give job counseling to nearly 1 million people each year. Homeless veterans, the elderly, youth, pregnant women, and now grieving survivors of children shot and killed in the streets of Chicago all count on Catholic Charities. See how you can help at CatholicCharities.net. You may be of another faith or no faith, but you have faith in us. Thank you.
So, Bishop, when we left off, we were talking about the actor Andre Goodnight. He has a family of, what, six children?
Yeah, six children, yeah.
And he doesn't look as old as someone who could have one child. I mean, how in the heck? I mean, that guy's got to be in his 30s or something, or at least he looks like it. And he's got six children. I wonder how
I think he mentioned he and his wife met in undergraduate college, and then they married after their first year of college.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So they've been married for quite some time. Yeah. And he lives in L.A., I understand.
In that area.
Yeah.
In that area.
Mm-hmm. So is the play, the Toten play, still being played?
Oh, yeah. It's moving around the country. They just finished the St. Louis area, Springfield area. They're going out to Memphis, Tennessee in March. They were in Portland, Oregon.
Okay.
So it's moving. They have a schedule.
So what do you think the effect it'll have on, if any, his canonization efforts for Father Toten?
It doesn't.
It doesn't?
No.
Okay. I thought maybe it might create a buzz
or
something.
It's just a popularity. Only to the extent that it helps immensely spreading the Toten story around. And for the first time, people meet Toten close up.
Mm-hmm.
In a way that they would not necessarily if they were just reading his biography in a book or even listening to a presentation about him.
What did you think of the play itself? I mean, in terms of Toten being portrayed in the play by one person and then having the other cast members displayed on the screen.
That's unique to St. Luke Productions. Mm-hmm. They have done other portrayals of people like Maximilian Kolbe and Therese of Lisieux, John Vianney, John of the Cross, St. Luke's Passion and Death of Jesus. It's rather unique because those actors are on the screen. After a while, you think they're on the stage.
Yes.
Because the coordination between them and Goodnight
mm-hmm.
is just so close and so intimate. It's a unique concept.
It's a unique concept.
Short of doing an actual film.
Yes, yes.
You know,
it's awesome. And that was one of the things that I think really grabs your attention mm-hmm. is that you now got to pay attention
mm-hmm.
because you don't know what's coming.
Sure, and the other actors were all fine people, fine actors.
They were. I agree. Why, now, Bishop, you may not know this, but why do they do something like that? Is it to cut costs? I don't imagine that it's necessarily that, but
it's another art form.
It's just, okay.
to do something marvelous by way of acting and drama, because obviously to put on a film or even a full stage production asks for much, much more in terms of dollars. And sets and all that kind of thing.
Right.
So you're doing the same thing, but with a different art form.
Okay.
Now, there are other kinds of dramas around where there's only the actor on the stage and there's nothing else, nobody else.
Mm-hmm.
There's that kind of, that art form has been around for a long, long time.
Right.
But to juxtapose other scenes and actors and sort of like a film in the background on the screen, that is new.
Mm-hmm.
I never saw that before myself until I saw him do John Vianney and others, a couple other performances that they did years ago.
Are you aware that St. Luke Productions is going to come out with a movie about Paul?
No, I'm not.
Yeah. Yeah, it's supposed to premiere, I believe, maybe not next month, but certainly within the first quarter of next year.
Okay.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So I'm excited about that. We're going to have one of the gentlemen who's involved with that come on the show and share more with us.
Good.
But I'm excited to hear about that, yeah.
DeFilippis is a talented actor, and he, in most of his productions, he has a role or two.
Okay.
You know what role he had in the Tolton play?
Actually, I did not, but now I know since you mentioned that.
He was the devil.
I knew it. And I'm going to tell you something. He was very convincing. He yes. didn't do much but just look. That's all he had to do. That was a scary-looking character.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, man.
He was the self-doubt in Tolton, and he was representative of the evil that permeated society at that time in the name of racism, and
yes.
he was vocalizing it.
Yes.
And throwing that on Tolton and stirring up Tolton in his own emotions. And
I thought that was just
oh, yes.
magnificent.
It's
you know, yeah, it was clever. It certainly added a touch to the play that you just wouldn't see or think
sure.
about anywhere else other than some years ago, The Exorcist.
Yeah, The Exorcist, 1975. Yes.
Well, right. That was a scary-looking devil there, though,
yeah.
you know. But, again, excellent play, Bishop. I'm glad that it happened. It certainly educated a lot of people who otherwise mm-hmm. wouldn't have known the depths of this character
mm-hmm.
or this real person, Father Augustus Tolton.
Indeed.
You also have been involved very heavily in Renew My Church, of course, for Vicariate 6. And
mm-hmm.
I know that by itself is a job that nobody wants. So how's that going for you, managing that, per se?
Well, we've had two groupings of parishes in the process already, and they're about to make recommendations to the commission and then to the cardinal moving forward. A grouping on the east side, which represents about four Spanish-speaking parishes, and then in the city itself, south side, Albies, St. Felicitas, and St. Joachim mm-hmm. is another grouping. And then we're starting with a Calumet City grouping in February.
Okay.
Now, the two about to make recommendations, we reviewed them last night with some of the Renew My Church staff, and those recommendations look good. The people are comfortable with them. They came essentially from the people themselves after a lot of study and discussion and looking at different scenarios at what might possibly be in order to strengthen the church and the Catholic presence on the south side and try to obviate some of the challenges we have with aging buildings and small finances and smaller congregations.
Okay, Bishop, we're going to take a break right now and we'll close in on that subject when we return.
Mm-hmm.
Chicago Catholic school families are receiving a present this Christmas season in the form of tax credit scholarships. Hi, I'm Dr. Jim Rigg, Superintendent of Catholic Schools for the Archdiocese of Chicago. The exciting news is that individuals and corporations that donate to tax credit scholarships will receive a 75% state tax credit while providing scholarship aid for students in need. Individual and corporate donors can reserve tax credits beginning January 2nd, but you need to take steps right now. Go to archchicago.org/TCS to guide you through the process. That site also shows you how to apply to receive scholarship money. You can also call 312-534-2617. Keep in mind, individuals can designate their donations to Archdiocese of Chicago Catholic Schools. The website, once again, archchicago.org/TCS, or call 312-534-2617. Thank you for helping families in our Catholic schools.
The Word Made Clear is exactly what its name implies. It's an easy-to-understand explanation of the Word of God, the Gospel. Hello, I'm Father James McElhone, Director of Biblical Formation for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I'd like to invite you to take our free online Bible study program by going to thewordmadeclear.org. Our website offers an audio-based guide to the Gospels of Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John. Listen to my lectures and follow along with the handouts provided. There are even discussion guides. You can also explore the biblical roots of the Mass. And there are links to a wide variety of biblical sources that will benefit both teachers and students of the Sacred Scriptures. Just go to wordmadeclear.org to experience our free online Bible study program. Again, it's free at wordmadeclear.org. It's the Word of God. Enjoy.
Okay, we're back. Deacon John Cook with Bishop Joseph Perry of Vicariate 6, and we're having a wonderful conversation. Talking about Renew My Church right now and how that effort is going. Bishop, how are the youth being involved in this effort too? Because that's really what we're preparing our church for, is our youth and the next generation and the generation after that to inherit what we leave to them.
Well, keep in mind there aren't too many youth around.
Yes.
The birth rate has really fallen in our society. Mm. So definitely the youth are going to be around, and we want them around, and we're preparing for that now with several youth and young adult programs that are going on in the Archdiocese. But it's going to be a smaller church for them, mm-hmm. realistically. We noticed that in our schools already, public schools as well as specialty schools, religious schools, and so forth. There aren't the kids to fill up the desks that were there in our generation.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that, because you also mentioned on break that, you know, the Catholic Church is not the only church that is sort of going through this renewal.
Yeah, the major denominations, Methodists, Lutherans, and Episcopalians have all dealt with this. All their churches were in the city. The population is not there anymore.
Right, and now we're going to have to find some kind of better use or some kind of use, mm-hmm. period, to
make use of those buildings.
The buildings, right.
Short of tearing them down. Some of them need to be torn down.
Right.
But others really can be preserved or turned into other kinds of uses that are somehow commensurate with the fact that they were once a church.
Yes, and, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. You know, mm-hmm. I was thinking about our own church, St. Felicitas, and it's smack dab in the community there with not much parking. Mm-hmm. Of course, back then, that's when people lived in the community, in the neighborhood, and they walked to church, walked mm-hmm. across the street mm-hmm. to church. And so that's definitely going to be a challenge, because it's certainly a church mm-hmm. building.
Oh, yeah.
And it's got some of the most beautiful stained glass mm-hmm. that you want to see. I just love that church.
You can't turn it into a grocery store.
No, you can't turn it into a grocery store, much less anything else. But it'd be interesting to see how that plays out and what will become of it. Now, you also are involved with Zakiya House and Abram Sally, who was once my classmate, worked alongside of you with that idea. And now it's been going on for, what, about 14 years?
We opened our doors in 2002.
Okay, so
15 years.
15 years, yeah.
We started it out in 1999, getting the 501c3 and getting it established and trying to find a building for it.
And have you outgrown that building, Bishop? Or
oh, yeah, a long time
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, I thought so.
It holds 9 residents, but we really could use a much larger building.
Maybe one of these churches would be a good site. I just thought of that as we're talking.
Oh, that's a genius of you.
Well, I don't know about that. We'll see, we'll see as it plays out.
Yes.
But, you know, obviously if the churches are going to be, you know, used for other things, it has to be completely gutted out. And, you know, Zakiya House would be, I think, an ideal project maybe to take over one of these buildings.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
Yeah, something to think about, right?
Yep.
I think you've got enough people behind you that would love to see something like that. Well, the need is growing for that as well.
Oh, the need is 100 times what we're doing.
Yes.
You know, we only have a house for 9 people, 9 residents, but the need out there is infinitely greater.
Yeah, you've got a waiting list of men, do you? Or
yeah, it's somewhat of a waiting list.
Mm-hmm.
It varies seasonally, you know, and the recommendations are coming from parishes and St. Vincent de Paul Society. Those are our sources of, and then one-on-one, you know, people, the word's out there that we are around.
Well, here's an idea for you. You know, as these groupings are taking place, you know, that can certainly become a ministry of theirs. You know, you take care, take over one of these vacant churches, and, you know, now we have a ministry that obviously is well needed and it certainly is going to grow with homelessness, unfortunately, because of the jobs or lack thereof that are out here in the marketplace. So.
Sure.
All right, so what's going on, Bishop, in your life for Advent season? And I know it's a busy time for you leading up to Christmas and ultimately New Year's. And what does the Advent season mean for you at this period? And what is your hope for the coming year?
Well, a priest reminded me the other day that 2017 has been an awful year. With so many events, you know, we have a dictator over there in North Korea who can easily press a button and annihilate the geography of our allies and even parts of the United States, so he claims, if he presses the button. But never before have we been this close to nuclear war since the Cuban Missile Crisis back in 1962. And I don't think people want to pay attention to it.
I agree with you. You know, I can remember the missile crisis. Now, I was a kid, but I can remember the anxiety in the household. And I can remember the news, you know, talking about that all the time. And I think you're right. Nobody wants to believe it or talk about it or anything because, you know, you don't. Well, I'll be careful, Bishop. But, you know, on this side of the spectrum, I don't know if we have the greatest leadership either that, you know, can really hold their head and avoid that.
Yeah.
You know, it's that, that's what makes it scary.
Anytime the war is broken out, you look at surrounding leadership and it begged the question back then, and it still does. But this kind of war is much easier to effect. I mean, you don't need troops anymore to go out and put on uniforms and carry guns and pull heavy tanks out there and cannons. This is just the press of a button.
Yeah, I mean, for the first time, you know, it's a real threat as far as I'm concerned.
And outside of that, I don't know about you, I don't know of any time where we've had such a successive one after another, hurricanes that have devastated areas.
I preached about that on Sunday, Bishop. Yes, I mean, it's a lot going on. So, Bishop, lead us in prayer as we sign off here.
Sure.
Thank you.
Lord, as we proceed with your advent, we await your coming day in and day out in our lives. Help us to prepare for your Lord's coming and to believe more earnestly that you do have the words of eternal life, short of everything we can manufacture in this time.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop.
You're welcome.
Have
Thank you, John.
Have a wonderful day.
You too.
All right.
God bless.
Ever think of donating your car? You can donate a car that you no longer need to Catholic Charities. The donation will help needy people throughout Cook and Lake Counties. Donating your car is easy. Call us at 877-786-GIVE from anywhere in the country. That's